Gonna take me out to dinner first?
You had ribs tonight. I'm not taking you out for dinner.
You asked me if I was ready for it.
God. You know, I'm just gonna leave this in. Screw it. I don't care. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Joining me tonight is Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm hunting Lynels right now to get their guts and horns and hooves for armor upgrades.
Lynels are hard to fight.
Yeah, but if you get the barbarian armor and you trick it out and you use stasis.
I'm not a huge fan of I don't know. I just haven't beaten Zelda. I'm ready to. I just don't want to. I enjoy exploring it more.
Same. I finally did the fourth Divine Beast last night.
Which one?
Fireblight. I'd say like Fireblight and Thunderblight, and then I just
okay, the Goron one.
Yeah, both were like the Thunderblight was hard, man.
Which one? Thunderblight was the
He would like disappear and then like.
The Gerudo one, or whatever. Yeah. That one's a hard one. I'm playing Splatoon 2. Not right now, but in general, I'm playing Splatoon 2. Because you're a kid now, you're a squid now. Also joining us is Nick. Nick, how are you doing?
I am just humbled to be talking to such an excellent communicator as you.
I know, right? I know. I mean, like, seriously, So at work we have this thing called Lunch and Learn, and we get a local community college to come in, and they kind of, like a guy speaks, you know, for about an hour and says, yeah, and they teach about leadership and stuff, leadership style. So this one was communications. They're like, take this quick survey beforehand. So I take it, and I get like, basically an A- on it. And it's an excellent communicator. It's like 56 points and up, and I got 56 points. So I'm like, yes. So I am perfect in every way, and I have.
And book, you're good at book knowledge, right?
I'm not saying I'm a good enunciator. I'm just saying I'm a good communicator. There's a big difference. And I thank all of our listeners and Twitter for being succinct and trying to communicate and produce a podcast. That helps.
We've got some breaking news here, folks. They have replaced the payphones in Mythos with vases.
Vases?
Vases, vases. I don't know. I'm Southern. We call them them vases.
Them vases.
All right. You need to
we just call
stop court. It. You can't pull the Southern card anymore. You lost it today, Mr. Pepsi.
you really like Pepsi? Really?
I like Pepsi. I mean, I go back and forth. Sometimes I want a Coke, sometimes I want Pepsi.
I just don't drink pop anymore, but like
I try not to, but I mean I have Cokes in my house.
I have a delicious LaCroix right now.
I mean, if you came into my house, there is Coke here. There's not Pepsi, so but I'm just saying that Pepsi never changed Coke Zero, so
nobody cares.
except Derek, who's now driving off the highway. And he's
nobody cares about Pepsi, so they don't change the formula. Like, there's five people who drink it, and that's enough for them. They're happy.
Did you know Pepsi made a cinnamon version for the summer?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you know that was test marketed about 9 years ago in Washington State?
Yeah, well, like Zima was also around 10 years ago, and now it's back, so whatever. So
Zima's back?
Zima is back. Wow. I saw a giant display of it at my Giant Eagle a few weeks ago, and just like the Tower of Zima, sort of like what they do for like when they do football. Well, when Ohio State football comes back, they just put like a bunch of Bud Light cases and like try to make out a stadium. They kind of did that with Zima.
I don't think that's how that works.
No. It looks kind of weird, I'll be honest. Do you know what I really like, though? My sister got it. They have alcoholic sparkling water now. So basically, alcoholic LaCroix.
Wait, stop the presses. Stop the presses.
I like it.
Joe likes something alcoholic. Stop the presses.
I know, right? Well, I'm talking about alcohol. So, I mean, like, we're talking about beer already. And I had it. And it was like, this is pretty decent. I like it.
Me and Michael were talking about Pepsi and Coke, and somehow it got spun to alcohol by Joe. So,
who'd have known?
Coke's a mixer for good drinks.
Yes.
Rum and Coke.
It is.
Jack and Coke.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
I mean, back in college, I used to do Jack and Mountain Dew because that's what we had.
And also, this is relevant to theme park discussion because of Coke Freestyle machines, which are very important to the Universal experience.
And we're also getting a new bar at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
We don't want to jump that too quick because we have some news, but that is on the list.
We have news.
Yes, we have.
Grand Avenue coming at you.
We have some news.
Oh, wait. Wait, so, I forgot. So we're getting a Tron coaster.
Well, hold on. We're not, no. So we're going to start off with regional park news first.
What?
Yeah. So
Lane and Alan aren't here.
So, yeah, exactly.
The Georgia Cyclone's closing down.
Besides the OWA theme park's
Jazzland
open.
Jazzland is still closed and not coming back.
August 16th is National Park Days. It is National Roller Coaster Day. Excuse me, this LaCroix is making me burpy.
Is it really?
That day, King's Dominion, Silver Dollar City, California's Great America, and Cedar Point are all making announcements on what their new roller coasters for 2018 will be.
Hmm.
So, mark your calendars, August 16th. We're going to get all the information we want on these rides. So, yeah, that's our local amusement park roundup.
I don't really have a local one.
You have?
Whatever.
Don't you have, like, Six Flags, whatever?
Six Flags is 4 hours away. Disney World's 4 hours away.
Well, see, you have two then.
Yeah, what about Carowinds?
Carowinds is about 4.5 hours.
You got three. They're all within a day's drive.
Yeah.
Don't you have, a family fun center or, a kiddie park down there? Or is that something that's only in the north?
That's not here.
Mm, okay.
We have a little zoo, and we have a national park. Oh, well, a national monument for Pulaski.
Is it a roller coaster?
No. It's on Cockspur Island, though.
Anyway, so...
It's a dick joke.
Yes, it is. D23. Not a dick joke.
Well, kind of.
I've heard of Dick Nunes. He's on Twitter. Not the Card Walker, sorry.
Yeah, that's Card Walker / the parody Card Walker account from a while ago that came back from the grave. D23 additional news. We've heard, I think, some more information on some of that stuff we were talking about. The Epcot concept art is incredibly blue sky.
Where are we?
D23.
Epcot?
Yeah.
I was reading your email from Walmart.
Oh, yeah, because of my Super Nintendo Classic got canceled like everyone else. The Guardians of the Galaxy ride sounds like it's just meta and has no reason to be in Epcot.
We don't know that, though. We don't really know too much. I mean, they could tie it into Epcot.
It's tied into Epcot.
It's bad.
It's tied into Epcot because they go back in time to the park they're already in to save Peter Quill from bad guys.
Right. So to that point, I would prefer them just not worry about tying it to Epcot at all.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it like that, yeah.
Just make a great Guardians ride, and I don't care, because it already doesn't belong there no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So just make a good ride, and don't give me stupid fan service-y stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What if they make the queue? What if they make the queue a museum to Epcot, to Peter Quill's adventures in Epcot?
Well, see, it'll still be the Universe of Energy building, so you'll be able to close your eyes and just imagine.
That's true.
The wall carpet and drop 40 years of mildew and yeah.
Nope. No, the mildew will still be there.
You scratch the wall.
That's authentic Groot smell. Get it right.
Ooga chaka.
What else have we heard? Any other confirmations? I'm trying to think of the minivans debuted.
Yeah.
If you got kids and need
they're not vans.
Yeah, first of all, they're SUVs or crossovers. Second of all, if you have kids and need a car seat, they sound like not a bad deal. But for everyone else, they sound like a bad deal.
Hey, friends, I don't understand Uber because I've never used it.
You've never used Uber?
No.
I haven't either.
So
I don't need it here.
If the four of us or six of us got an Uber after Trader Sam's, do each one of us pay a separate fee?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, it's like a taxi.
So what you would do is, usually you can only fit like three people in an Uber X, but you can get an XL for like an upcharge, which is like at least an SUV. And that'll be like maybe additional 10 to 15 bucks additional. So what you do is like the one person orders the Uber, you know, they pick you up, they drop you off, you give them a tip, and then everyone else just gives the guy, you know, whoever called the Uber, give them money or whatever.
Okay.
Because I like the flat fee aspect of minivan, but since the other one's flat fee also, yeah.
Well, Uber's not a flat fee, but it's much cheaper. No. You just know it's going to – you don't know what it's going to be. It's just going to be between $5 to $10 instead of a flat $20. But here's the thing is the car seats is an additional $10 charge for Uber, meaning you're not really saving any money to begin with, and you get two of them. So that's why it's good for people who need car seats.
Right. Okay. Also, I mean, if you're – I mean, there is a value towards it if you want to go straight to Hoop to Do.
Exactly. That's what I was going
to
say.
To the front of Magic Kingdom without all the nonsense.
Yeah. If Sean was here, he would be yelling at us right now.
Like, if you don't want to haggle with the attendant at Contemporary or Polynesian.
Yeah. Sorry, Nico.
The only reason why I would do it is if I was going to Hootie Doo and I was staying at another hotel and we were running late. I mean, that would make sense at that point because that drops you right off at Pioneer Hall. But beyond that...
But for their target demo, I mean, it's a good value.
Yeah. Well, you have a certain set of the guests that are at Disney that are staying at the deluxe resorts that are going to say, I can pay $20 for my own private vehicle, I'm going to do it. And you still have that same subset of people who are going to say, oh, these are Disney vetted drivers, so they are better. And there is a certain group that's going to say
or that. Or I trust them. It's the same people.
Yeah, even though it's the same people.
Exactly.
I mean, there's certain circumstances where the minivans work, and there's certain ones where they're just a waste of money. And if people want to order them because they feel safer, I mean, that's weird, but okay. I mean, I can understand that. But it's literally like the same. It's college kids doing this, college program kids or something like that a lot of the times. And they're picking you up normal, and it's going to be cheaper and quicker. We don't know, like, how long the waits are because right now they've been waiting at certain resorts. But you may have to, like, order it through an app and still have to wait, like an Uber. So at that point, you're like, well, what are you gaining from this? Also, this is still a trial on $20. What makes us think that Disney's not going to raise it in like 4 or 5 weeks to like $25 or $30? At which point, then it just like starts nosediving. Like you can't justify $30 ride.
Well, is that not what we're already seeing with Disney? They kind of raised prices to the point now that they are having to do discounts and remove blackout dates and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that they overestimated how much of the crowds come from visitors. I think they're seeing that, like, hey, a lot of our crowds come from APs, and by blocking out a lot of them during the summer, we're getting very weak summers and just seeing attendance drop. And a lot of probably money go to iDrive and other resorts. But anyway, D23, I'm trying to think if there's any other news. Not really.
Well, I guess we kind of talked about D23, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's any updates, any new information since then about the announcements. But it doesn't sound like it, so we'll continue on.
Well, I mean, let's just say that we liked the announcements at D23, contrary to what somebody said on Twitter about us.
Well, I'm
pretty cool with them. Yeah. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there. So.
Yeah, I think, we have a few questions about that, which we'll get to in a second at the end of the show. But, yeah, definitely a plus on – we're definitely positive on D23. So our big Disney story for this week, new Baseline Tap House, part of Grand Avenue area at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Could they come up with a more convoluted name?
What – is it Baseline or Bassline?
Who cares?
Baseline, B-A-S-C line, yeah. So
it's
Baseline –
the writer's stop.
Yeah. it's the old rider stop. They're redoing that front part, and they're going to make it California and call it Grand Avenue. So that's your big news there.
It's the Grand Avenue leading you to Star Wars Land.
Yeah, pretty much. Debuting in the fall.
Is that Commissary Lane?
No.
No, I don't.
Commissary Lane is like behind the Frozen, well, it used to be the American Idol thing with the ABC commissary there in Sci-Fi. Then you kind of had that little corner where you would go around the facade of where the Empire State Building and all that was. You had the rider stop that was straight ahead. That was the bookstore. That's going to be the new place.
Yeah, right next to 50s Primetime.
They should just clear that whole park. Sorry. It's so convoluted.
Yeah, it's a mess of a logistical layout. So the attraction, quite traction for me because it's beer and pretzels. showing off, blah, 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 blah. In a quaint brick building, Baseline Tap House celebrates the revitalization of downtown Los Angeles by paying homage to the building's former life as they named it Figurina Printing Company, a mom-and-pop print house that has ties to Disney Studios and nearby Burbank. So you know what that means. The space retains many of its cool architectural and mechanical details with exposed walls and old printing equipment and artifacts, of course, putting the past and present in an inviting space. Outside is charming tree-shaded terrace, perfect relaxing break in the day in the 1,000-degree heat. California craft ales, lagers, and ciders are the stars of the drink menu, along with wines on tap. So I think this is going to be their first location where they have specialty cocktails and wines on tap. And they're going to have California beer. And they're also going to have a big pretzel, so that makes me happy. Yeah. Yay. Good. I mean, it depends on what the beer menu is. If the beer menu is the usual California BS, then we're going to, like, Golden Road and stuff, then we just need to move on. But they could do something cool with this. Thoughts?
They could. I mean, I don't know. I want to see more. I mean, if it's something in the vein of Nomad, it'll be good. Nomad was good. Or is good. So, mm-hmm. You know. If it's something like that, and it'll be fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I got.
This stupid premise has Brandon Clayton written all over it.
Even though he's at Universal Creative now?
Yeah.
Awkward. So, do we want to talk about D23 at all, or...
Well, I do have one other thing to say about the,
yeah.
The thing. Why are they making present-day L.A.? Park that's the Hollywood that never was but always will be.
Got me.
And it's not even close to G-Force Records.
Oh, bother.
Yeah. So do we even want to talk about Halloween Horror Nights? There's no new announcements, but...
Well, D23, I think there is some discussion to be had about stuff that wasn't announced, like just that was allegedly pulled at the last minute, mm-hmm. Particularly Marvel at DCA. I can't think of anything else.
Brazil.
But I think there might be some fear in the company about the future viability of Marvel. I don't know. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a little bit of those tweets going around, but who knows right now. Yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights, we'll get news in a week.
Yes, we will. We'll have hopefully the whole entire house lineup next week. Maybe we'll get some teases tomorrow. Like saying, hey, everything's going to be revealed in a week. That'd be nice. This weekend is Midsummer Night's Scream in L.A. There's going to be a talk. The first panel they're doing, I believe, is all about the Tower of Terror. So major shade, A. B, I can't wait to see that recorded because that's going to be an awesome panel. They're also going to do a Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood panel there. Where they're going to announce one of their houses. So I think we're kind of getting that dam is going to finally burst when it comes to announcements. So, well, at least in Hollywood. But we're probably going to get new announcements in a week for Halloween Horror Nights. Probably around
this. Because the countdown expires next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next Thursday. Yep.
So we'll have everything. Probably know all the scare zones. We'll probably know all the houses. It's going to be interesting, especially around the kid zone area. Because I think Kid Zone's closing in the process of Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah,
like during it, like there'll be things closing.
Well, I mean, they'll just move stuff around. They have the gate by the Simpsons and Quickie Mart that they can open up, and the gate on the other side of ET that they can open up, and so.
Well, I also think they're closing Kid Zone in phases, so you could easily close Barney and knock down the interior while still keeping the exterior okay for Halloween yeah. Horror Nights, and you can start tearing down Curious George and not affect a lot of that stuff. But yeah, so that's what's going on with Halloween Horror Nights 27. We'll know more in a week. But we're going to get to the real news here. It's what everyone's been waiting for. Yes, that's right. Rock the Universe tickets are now on sale. We can...
Oh, man.
September 8th and 9th.
8th and 9th.
Get your packages now.
We got a pretty solid lineup.
I thought that one dude in the lower left looked like Feral. It's probably not Feral.
No, it's not.
It's not. It just looked like him. Or, you know. Okay.
No.
Anyway.
It's a pretty solid solid lineup if you like you listen to that type of music, which I do. It's pretty. Yeah. It's a pretty good lineup. So.
Yeah. Well, being a heathen and listening to my death metal.
Well, we know.
Yeah.
We know. No, you're just punk, man.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So Alan DM'd me today. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna come down, like in October to see Death Grips. If I can, I crash at your place if I go." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Do you want to go?" And I'm like, "I would go see Death Grips, except for the fact that it's $40 a ticket." And if you don't know what Death Grips is, it's basically just check out a YouTube video. It's interesting to say the least. There's just two people performing, but it's interesting. That's right, everyone. It's finally announced the Potter Coaster, not the Polar Coaster, finally. But the Potter Coaster from the Universal Close Up blog from Kristen Clark. We can have it in we can have it in Spanish or Portuguese.
The first hyper in a box.
You put the hyper in a box. Okay, we have a show title now. Okay, I'm saving that down. Oh, that's too good. That's way too good. Hold on. I'm writing that one down. Oh. So, she writes, "I'm super excited to tell you a new generation of thrill ride has come to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Hogsmeade at Universal's Islands of Adventure in 2019. I can't tell you everything about the new ride just yet, but here's what I can share. This all-new thrill ride will take you deeper into J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, where you encounter some of your favorite characters and creatures. It'll be unlike anything we've ever done before, and it'll be fun for the entire family." Put a pin in that one. "The new attraction will be one of the bolded, most highly themed coaster experiences," unbold, "we've ever created. It will combine a new level of storytelling," hashtag story coaster, "with a action-packed adventure and a few surprises along the way. Our award-winning Universal creative team is once again collaborating with Warner Brothers on the production and the production design team from the Harry Potter films to bring this new coaster experience to life. So hopefully we'll see Stuart Craig again and that whole entire cast of characters, Stuart Craig, who was the other one who works, who are the two guys from Warner Brothers?
Alan Gilmore.
And Alan Gilmore, thank you. And finally, "This ride is going to be, is going to redefine the category and transport you to thrilling places, drawing you into even more exciting adventures within the Wizarding World. It's going to be perfect addition to Hogsmeade. We're permanent closing Dragon Challenge," not Dragon's Challenge, "on September 5th to make way for this all-new thrill ride. The last day of operations for Dragon Challenge will be Monday, September 4th. There you go.
Best thing about it is a new J.K. Rowling story. You don't have to remember your Pottermore login.
The best thing is a new J.K. Rowling story where it's not the cursed child.
Oh, which, what it could be.
Which was one of my favorite tweets from this past week was Deba saying that they should do a Shrieking Shack walkthrough haunted house, but it's not actually a haunted house, just nothing happens. And then my response was, "Well, if something happens, a cast member reads The Cursed Child to you." So there you go. So what are your guys' thoughts?
It's not a hyper, Joe.
Okay. Should we just
polar coaster?
Polar, yeah. It's unlike any other thrill ride. So we don't
family friendly.
We're not sure what ride system it is necessarily.
Well, we have our thoughts, but
I mean, so some of the ones that have been thrown around is that Mack-powered inverted coaster, like the Arthur ride in Europe. I don't think that this is it. Mm-hmm. There's the Intamin motorbike / sidecar attraction, which is basically Hagrid and Harry, the ride. There's also the SFX coaster from Dynamic Attractions, which is a launched kind of regular coaster with unique elements. And then there's also maybe, we haven't seen an installation of the RoboCoaster yet, the G3 model, so who knows. What are your guys' thoughts?
Go ahead, Michael.
The last thing would be fun. The, what is it, the Kuka Arm coaster, right? RoboCoaster?
Mm-hmm.
I think the SFX coaster would be a little bit too similar to Gringotts, but I wouldn't complain. Motorbike coaster, people seem to be really down on that, who know about those types of things, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of down on it now, too. Since we're getting Tron, I really don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'd like the SFX coaster or the RoboCoaster. I want cool new things without glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And no stop and go from screen to screen.
No show stops.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have show stops.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
let me put it this way. There'll probably be show scenes, but would it be show scenes where it's like stop and go, or would it be like Mummy, where you have show scene, coaster, show scene, coaster, a little bit of coaster, then end? You know, something like that, where it's more clearly defined action segments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that you're going to have, like, direction changes, or you're going to come to, like, I think it's going to be something like the Mummy in some ways. Like, you'll come to a dead end, and there's the spiders or something from the Forbidden Forest, and you get shot backwards or something, and you know what I mean? Like, I just think that there's going to be a couple of points in the ride where you'll have been going, and then you'll stop, and then something else is going to happen, and then you'll go again.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope it feels more natural than Great Gods does with the stops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess one of another thing that's been brought up quite a bit is we're losing a major thrill coaster. I'm calling it a thrill coaster. We're losing a major coaster. One of the defining aspects of Islands of Adventure was, hey, we have practically three brand new B&M coasters. And people are lamenting the loss of a basic identity of the park. The park was sort of designed around outdoor attractions. It was designed around a lot of the complaints that Universal Studios Florida had, where, you know, indoor giant e-tickets, well, we have more of a rounded experience here with more water rides and coasters, blah, 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 blah. So we're losing a part of what really made this park different. So what are your guys' thoughts on that? Any comments? Because I've seen a lot of weird people go like, hurrah, we're losing a steel coaster with no hidden supports, to people really flipping their shit on this, like, badly.
I feel like the identity of IOA changed in 2010, and there's no turning back from that, really. And I don't know, the original identity just kind of doesn't jive with what it is now, what the resort is now. It's different time, different crowd. You know, people say it'll never be Disney, but they'll never be Cedar Point either. So I don't mind them changing it to a ride that more people can enjoy and that fits better with the land that it's located in. And frankly, a ride that's designed to do what it's designed to do and not get neutered like Dueling Dragons was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, what? Back when Oz Adventure opened, you were there in the afternoon and you had the lightning storm, and what options did you have? You had Spider-Man and Cat in the Hat.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Maybe Poseidon. And if Simba was going on, you had that. So that was the only things that you had that you could do. So in one way, that I understand why they did it, and I understand what they were going for, but it seems like it might have not been the best idea either, because whenever you have a major theme park that's planned for the guest count that IOA was planned for in the afternoons, if you have a lightning storm, which happens quite regularly in Florida, you can't operate, and you have nowhere for those crowds to go other than out into the streets where the lightning's possibly going to get them. So, Islands of Adventure clearly is not the same park it was when it opened. It's clearly not the same. The company is a completely different company than what it was then. New leadership, things change, things evolve. Changes life. Dragons is a good coaster. I enjoy it. I can't ride it like I used to. Obviously, I get sick now as I'm mm-hmm. gotten older. But you hit 30 and things just start falling apart. But,
tell me about it.
I like them. I can't ride them like 10 times in a row like I have before. Back in, you know, like the early 2000s, I remember I would get on Dragon's Challenge and there would be nobody up the park because Universal was dead at that time, and you could just ride Dragon Challenge over and over and over and over and over. They wouldn't ever make you get off. Things change. It's a different demographic now. It's a different group that they're going for. And I mean, it's a loss for the coaster people, and I understand that, but at the same time, I think this is a step in the right direction for the identity that Universal and Islands of Adventures is developing going forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dueling Dragons is the only suspended dueling coaster I know of, and the only dueling B&M coaster they've ever designed. So, I mean, it has a historical aspect to it.
But hey, it hasn't dueled in 6 years.
Yeah, and that's right. my other thing is that Universal has made poor decisions about Dragon Challenge, there you go, for many, many, many years. From not dueling to completely redoing the queue to just a bunch of errors to the, I mean, for crying out loud, now the metal detectors and all that wonky system they got going on. Just everything is just a mess like that. And that's all their fault. But I think they're just in a tricky spot also where they're kind of stuck and they got to replace it. And they're never,
I almost wonder, go ahead. Sorry.
And they're never going to duel again. And reportedly that's been a major sticking point with them and B&M is that they're not dueling.
Almost wonder if somebody in management wanted it to die and did all these things, you know, that eventually it would have to close because it just couldn't justify keeping it open or maintained anymore.
Maybe.
It's also a massive amount of land that coaster covers.
It's gigantic.
Yeah, it's the size of Hogsmeade.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to wonder, so they had to replace Hulk, right? They were getting to the point where it was coming to the end of its life. So at what point does it come to the decision of do you retrack Dragon's Challenge to get it back to where it should be, or do you admit that this ride no longer is going to function in the way that it was originally designed and you pull it down and put something in its place instead of redoing it?
Mm-hmm. And especially something that operates, you know, during inclement weather.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggie. That's the thing, like with Kong, you know, with Kong, they made a way for that ride to operate in bad weather. They don't have that option with, you know, with Dragon's Challenge. I mean, and they still have the Hulk. The Hulk is obviously far more popular than Dragon Challenge now.
Mm-hmm.
That's another interesting thing, is how the wait times for that just completely died once Hogsmeade opened.
Well, I think the problem with the waits is that you don't have the inviting marquee anymore. People don't know it's back there, necessarily. The amount of people who walk into an amusement park and wander is kind of amazing. And they see Dragon Challenge and nothing else, there's no reason to go back there. I mean, there's a reason why Walt Disney said created the weenie. You drag people to where you want to go. And that marquee and seeing those that foot chopper element with the dueling loops, that dragged people in there.
Now you can't even see it.
Yeah. So, let's also talk about theme and in general. Like, what do you want to see this attraction be?
Fun.
Thank you. Yes, you want it to be fun, clearly.
Not boring.
I want it to have high rewritability
and
have things that we just haven't seen before.
Okay.
So obviously we're not going to have the trio, which is going to be nice, I guess, and some different scenery, hopefully. And I just want to see a fully realized environment. It would be fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. They definitely tried to avoid saying Harry, Ron, and Hermione. They definitely try to kind of dance around that aspect.
Well, I don't think they'll be in it.
Well, no, but you know what I'm trying to get at there. It's sort of like, your favorite characters, you know.
Yeah, I think that you might get Hagrid, but that'd be about it.
I think Hagrid's a pretty good lock.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then it's been hinted that Friends will be in there.
Yeah. Which will be interesting because he was not really
in the films.
Yeah, he was, but he wasn't like he was in the books.
Yeah.
So I wonder what one we'll get.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
What about what
probably the movie
Guap? Was it Guap? Guap?
Mm-hmm.
Groupy.
Guapy. I can't say his name.
Group.
Hopefully he'll be in it.
So I mean,
one of the worst subplots in the books.
So we've resigned ourselves to believing that this will be a Forbidden Forest attraction, then.
That's the most consistent thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it makes the most sense, too.
And additionally, we just saw so many people giving lots of large winks around the time they announced the Warner Brothers expansion that you just kind of like, okay, this has got to be it. and just all the people who knew and the people working on it, and Universal Creative, who now work for other things. They're all just going, wink. So it's like, okay, I guess this is it. So another aspect that I'm really excited about is that this is going to expand the land. I think it's actually going to expand. Like, there's going to be new walkways. There's going to be maybe a new restaurant. So. Maybe not a restaurant, but there'll be a new, you know.
Tea shop.
Yes, tea. Yeah, right? Though, yeah. If Sean was here, he'd be, give me my tea shop. And then he'd yell, shut up, Baloo. But, you know, you get more you could expand the facilities of Hogsmeade that are already strained. So you would bump up the amount of wand locations. You would add more and larger pathways. You could build out some more restrooms, some more dining, some more drinks, some more purchasing. You can do all that stuff on the way to the massive show building. And also, plus, you can also add a bunch of fake trees around Hogwarts Express Station and make it look more authentic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, was... Do you think they'll change anything around the Hogsmeade station as a result of this?
They'll just put more trees. They'll put trees around it so it looks authentic.
At some point, they're going to have to close that. You think they're going to have to close down the Hogsmeade Express to do that? Because that coaster track's right on top of it.
No, they didn't have to close down a lot of stuff around Hulk, really.
That's true.
Just when they built it back up, they had to.
They'll do it one night. They'll just chop all that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be gone. Like, that'll be one of the first things gone will be that turnaround, right? Yeah. Right around there.
Yeah.
So, Forbidden Forest, we're thinking some sort of, like, coaster plus story elements.
Hopefully we'll have Umbridge. I will have Order in there.
Someone said that if Umbridge gets taken away, I am okay with this. I think Umbridge is the most terrifying character in any written book ever.
She's horrible.
I think that if we see
Umbridge is horrible.
Yeah.
Movie Umbridge is nothing compared to book Umbridge.
I think both are terrible. I mean, book Umbridge gives me nightmares, but movie Umbridge gives me the creeps and just like it's up there. It's just like this. Whew. But yeah, if we see that, that'd be pretty amazing. It would be cathartic. That's what it really would be. It would be, it would definitely be therapeutic. I think I would talk to my psychologist about that and my breakthrough after writing on the attraction. Is there anything else about the Harry Potter coaster experience?
Fun thing is that they kind of have liberty and freedom to create a whole new thing, whereas Gringotts is pretty self-contained. And I guess Forbidden Journey has a few limitations as well, but this could be a whole new thing that could have new things, and they just have a lot more freedom, I think, this time.
They have the option to actually expand upon the story and not just try to shoehorn themselves into a particular time period.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that they don't feel the need to include Voldemort or something like that. Like, just let this stand on its own as its own baby. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we get a blasted ended skewer.
Scroot,
whatever.
Yeah.
You Pepsi people can't pronounce anything.
I can't pronounce anything. I'll be honest with you. I am not an excellent communicator.
No, you're not. You really are not.
Nice callback, Nick.
You need to take that quiz. So, I'm trying to
Holy
think.
Holy crap. Oh, sorry. Derek's texted an article about a woman accused of choking a girl for blocking her Disney's fireworks view.
Dear Lord. Yeah, Derek's texting us right now, like, just constantly. Great.
Back
anyway.
To the identity and coaster argument. Mm-hmm. I mean, this ride's going to really, I think it's going to move the needle pretty more than Dragon Challenge ever would have in its current form. So it's going to increase attendance for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that's going to drive park-to-park tickets again. And
Well, do you think it'll increase attendance per se, or do you think it's just going to sustain what they have and maybe boost it a little bit?
I think it increases.
I mean, it's been increasing constantly, so...
It's not going to be like a 20% bump, but I'm thinking you'll see, you know, a bump once it opens.
Because you got the people who aren't Universal people and only go for Botter, mm-hmm. and they only went that one time or like two times, and this will be the third time they'll go.
But this will also, what this will do too, is the people who were thinking, well, I'll skip my day at Universal to go to Star Wars Land, they might say, well, instead of doing a day at Epcot, I'll just chop off Epcot, go to Star Wars Land, and keep
They'll skip Animal Kingdom.
How can they skip Flight of Passage, Mike? The most
because
incredible
Epcot
attraction.
Has food and wine.
I don't know if you know this, but Epcot does have the best dark ride Disney's ever done in it. Never forget.
Oh, good Lord.
So,
they get that new Circle Vision.
I'm excited about that. Don't hate.
I'm just excited for the Star-Lord Summer Festival that's going to come to Epcot.
Did you know that young Peter Quill loved cooking and also gardening?
He loves festivals.
He loved gardening with his mom. Could we be more pedantic? Let's write it into an actual Marvel comic book. We'll reboot it. He wanted to cook and he wanted to do gardening. We're rebooting the Flower and Garden Festival and the Food and Wine Festival.
I don't know why Disney doesn't just go all in and in the summer do the Epcot Retro Festival, and they just bring back old music from the rides and like do wall carpet murals and stuff like that, and just go hog in for the retro thing and let it drive attendance.
If they bring Tapestry Nations back, I'm down there. Boom.
Bring back old things that used to be offered at Food and Wine that aren't offered anymore.
They sort of are doing that for Food and Wine.
Yeah. I just go all in. Just make it its own thing.
Yeah. So
I was going to say they should get cover bands for all of the awesome mixtape songs for one of their festivals.
That would be great.
I mean, they pretty much already have every single one of them represented with cover bands, so I guess it wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
Just get Hanson to play some covers of other people's big music.
Ooh, good shot. Ooh. All right. Yeah, so exciting stuff.
Well, while we're talking about Epcot, what y'all think about Jim Hill's rumor for expansion of the UK pavilion?
I'm fine with it. It's cool.
Spirit's touting that, too. Spirit came back to WW Magic today.
Yay.
Yeah, I know, right?
So he's backing that up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a carousel,
And Brazil and the Marvel following through at DCA thing.
Yeah.
Pointing out the second time at D23 where it was pulled at the last minute.
Well, no comment on that, but...
I say, why are we getting it at Epcot?
I mean, Brazil I don't think is going to happen. Well, I mean, Guardians is popular enough and it's standalone enough. I think that's why. But, like, I just don't see Brazil happening. It just seems like something like they're just pushing it through and just waiting for some. I think they're like tail wagging a dog right here.
Brazzy!
So, I don't know. But anyway, back to Potter.
More Potter.
Well, but is it really more Potter? I mean, it's just Dueling Dragons is a Potter attraction. They're not actually expanding Potter.
No.
It fits because there's dragons in Harry Potter and there's dragons in the ride.
Yes, that is part of it. It doesn't.
Dueling Dragons has never been a part of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It was a shooed in thing
because they couldn't afford to remove it. They couldn't afford to remove it.
If they would have painted them, if they would have changed the color of the dragons on there, if they would have gone all in and truly made it, but they didn't. They left everything like it was. Ripped out the queue, put in a couple of little things, and left it.
They basically said,
"Joe, so you can't see it."
They're like, "Joe, we can either put the money in Forbidden Journey, or we can like just pretend and hide this giant roller coaster. What do you want to do?" And she probably said, "Put it in Forbidden Journey."
Exactly.
So it's just there's so many things going on with Dueling Dragons that it's just like, come on, just
It's time. It's past time. Like it's done.
Yeah, it is done. It's what's done is done. Definitely one of the weird. We've had three major closures of attractions this year. Like that's kind of nuts if you think about it. We're getting Universal Energy, Great Movie Ride, Dueling Dragons.
Whoa! You just called Universal Energy a major attraction.
It's in my heart. It's a major attraction.
No, that's,
let me put
that's,
it this way. It's a major attraction because it takes 42 minutes to ride it.
That doesn't make it a major attraction. That just makes it boring.
Major attraction. Oh, boy. Thank you, everyone. I can't wait for the tweet saying how much we hate Disney again.
I don't hate Disney. I just, the universe of energy is fine. It's just
boring.
Once you get past the dinosaurs with the crappy Ellen AA, I mean, it just, it's a good nap. And I mean, people even say that. People say it's their nap. So, you know, I mean, you can't say it's something that's something if everybody agrees that I go on there and take a nap.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, anything with Potter? Anything else? Going once, going twice. We got questions coming up.
You can never have enough Potter attractions. Bring on Ministry of Magic. Let's do it.
Okay. There we go.
It's getting nuts.
Okay. We're going to start off with questions. From Sean Cochran asks, semi-related to Potter Coaster, do you think it'll have a virtual queue and or express?
Wait, what? Oh, virtual queue? No.
No.
Do you think it'll have express?
Eventually, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I think you'll open with it. Since they've already abandoned it on the other rides, they'll open with it.
Okay. I agree. Sam Zimmerman asks, why am I your favorite? I don't know.
Because you agree that Universe of Energy is boring.
There we go. From Mike, not you, another one. Suggests speculate on when we may hear details about the true third gate. So there's some shade right there at Volcano Bay.
Not any 2021. Clearly. They are not in any hurry to announce anything. That's clear.
Well, I mean, they'll be building it before they even acknowledge it. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, I was told that the Dragon Challenge closing was supposed to happen like a month ago and was delayed. Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From the traveling salesman or the open whatever open mother's mail asks, which of the announced D23 projects do you find the likeliest to get Pixie Hollowed? And by that he means. Ooh. Axed.
Yeah.
I think definitely the Epcot Blue Sky design. I could see that being very ambitious, where they kind of go, hey, do you know what we're going to do? We're just going to get rid of interventions and put some stuff here. And that's about it.
I mean, the Epcot thing's fairly obvious that's because they didn't really say anything about it. They just threw it up there and they said, hey, look at this. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I don't feel like that's even like saying. I think of the things that they gave concrete information about that they said XYZ, the one that if something gets cut off is the theater going to the Magic Kingdom.
They're already constructing that.
That's like important for them to have.
Yeah.
I agree, but I think Tron Coaster will happen. I think Ratatouille, the walls are already up. They're going to go with Guardians.
Maybe not.
It's, yeah.
What about the Skyway? That's
still... That's already happening. You could see that construction when I was down there.
Hey, Dark Horse. Star Wars Hotel doesn't happen. What about that?
Oh, that one. Yeah, that would be one. Or the restaurant.
You would think they'd have started work on that already.
Which one?
Star Wars Hotel.
Dude, did you hear what Jim Hill said? That thing's opening in like 2021, 22.
Jesus.
Yeah, that thing is not ready at all. And which, by the way, so one of my pet peeves with the response to D23 has been how Disney's back and everything, but everything is still 4 to 5 years away. While we're still getting new things coming to Universal pretty consistently through that time frame. So it's not like some sort of, you know, like momentum shift. Like they're just kind of like starting up again. So anyway, that's just pet peeve of mine.
Well, it's not like that they're gonna flip a switch, you know, if stuff's gonna come online moment.
I totally understand that. Yeah.
So It's like people are saying, well, where's the response from Universal? Well, the response from Universal is going to be, you know, they got to announce the Potter thing. Then they're going to have Nintendo, and then they're going to – and it's just like Disney. They're going to open up these things gradually. So it's that's the same way. It's just they made a big splash and a one big presentation about them all. So.
New attraction every year. So From Tom Stidman asks, do you think Disney's D23 announcements are going to grow their Walt Disney World market share? Why or why not? Some are saying this will hurt UOR share.
It won't hurt UOR share. It'll just stop it from growing like it was. I don't know.
I think it'll maintain. I don't think Disney's like getting the attendance people are reporting. I think mm-hmm. that's pretty evident for a long time. Like, there's no way Hollywood Studios is getting 10 million or 11 million a year in that park. I'm sorry. They're not. But this will get them back up to those levels. And it'll also just bring it would if Disney doesn't touch the parks, people will stop going and it'll just continue downhill. This brings them back up and then continues that, you know, trajectory for a while longer. That's my fear also with these announcements is, yay, we got a bunch of new things. Now you're not going to get anything new for the next 5 to 6 years.
Which is probably fairly accurate.
And yeah, which I'm very scared about.
You're already not getting anything for 5 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but then you're talking about at that point, Animal Kingdom will be in the same straits that Epcot is now because it'll have been 10 years since anything had happened at Animal Kingdom. So, yeah. You know.
Which brings us back to the point, you have to always keep maintaining your parks. Mm-hmm. Always see something new every 2 or 3 years at each park.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I like Animal Kingdom. It's my favorite Disney park down there, but that screwed them up. If they would
like it so much, why don't you marry it, Nick?
I would, but it turned me down.
If you like it, you should put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Too much Pepsi.
But that was, yeah. They said that was a no deal. They had a deal with Coke, so you know. But that was what killed them. If they would have stayed at three parks, I think it would have been easier for them to maintain.
And also we'd have the fully built out Disney's Hollywood Studios Disney MGM Studios. We'd be in Maroon Studios riding Roger Rabbit's virtual thing, and we'd be dining at David Copperfield Underground and riding the Great Muppet Movie Ride. And
well, that stuff. Maybe that would have been rethemed by now.
Well, we're also assuming Jim would be alive too. So,
yeah.
But yeah, all that stuff which never happened.
It'd be a Taylor restaurant.
And
maybe if all those things are built at MGM, maybe it's not a failure.
Yeah. And maybe if you get those mm-hmm. consistent additions and you have a large park like that, you don't have to rip out half the park and spend all this time rebuilding it. Because remember,
they build that there? Why did they build that park?
So it was close to Epcot.
Yeah.
It was cheaper to build it right there.
Also remember, Monster Soundstage is still closed. They still have a lot of stuff that's just vacant in that park.
Well, I guess the studios was originally supposed to be a half-day thing because you're supposed to go half a day to Typhoon Lagoon and half a day to MGM.
Yep, exactly.
Sorry.
So there's us. So someone's going to take this and assume that we're anti-Disney after that, and we'll move on from there. From Outhouse of Mouse asks, if I saw you guys in a restaurant, would you buy a round for me? Would you...
What?
If I saw you guys in a restaurant... Would my buying a round for you be awkward?
No.
There we go. We're always like free stuff.
Well, I mean, I've had people tweet me before in restaurants. Hey, is that you? Are you here? And you
know, really?
It's fun.
Wow. Look at you, yeah. Mr. Celebrity.
Exactly right. No, it's fine. Come over, say hey.
Yeah. And that's it for all the questions.
That was it?
Yeah. The Daily Mail US is reporting that North Korea threatens to wipe out the USA with nuclear strike tomorrow. So enjoy the podcast. Goodbye to everyone on the West Coast.
I told you Guardians is never coming.
Yeah, he's right.
None of it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, after today, it. Why not?
But that means no Disneyland, so we'll get all the world.
Well, that's good. We'll get all
but
the
no
additions.
More Burbank.
Yeah. Oh, alrighty then. So, Nick, where can we find you online at?
At Parkscope Nick on Twitter.
Cool. Mike, where can we find you online at?
At CaptMichael87.
Awesome.
Up your park.
I am at Parkscope Joe. You can find all of us at Parkscope. Go to Parkscope.net. We're doing our two series still, the hidden attractions. And themed, hidden amusements and themed attractions of all the 59 states and some of Canada. Alan currently posted New Jersey. So we're getting to those that neck of the woods now. So that's going to be fun. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, the Jersey Ohio.
The Jersey Devil.
He didn't mention the Jersey Devil, which is weird. Also, Jeff's doing his Parkscope YouTube Tuesday, so go check those out. Those are fun. And yeah, that's about it, really. So, Mike, do you want to sign us off?
Love everybody, hate everything. Horror next week. Kungaloos!
There we go.